You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
Welcome back. Our guest is Kevin Freeman. We are having a special hour-long session with one of the real gurus about economic security and threats to our financial sector and more. He is the founder and CEO of Freeman Global Investment Counsel, a boutique investment advisory firm, but he is best known perhaps for his two best-selling books, the original one, Secret Weapon, How Economic Terrorism Brought Down the U.S. Stock Market and Why It Can Happen Again. His second book, Game Plan, How to Protect Yourself from the Coming Cyber Economic Attack. And Kevin, we were talking in the previous segment about China. It's finally securing at last a long-sought goal of becoming one of the reserve currencies of the world and what it might mean for us. In my conversations each week with Gordon Chang, we've been discussing now for a while the increasing economic difficulties China is facing and what that might mean, not just for China, but also for the region and for our vital interests. I wonder, are you convinced, as Gordon seems to be, that China has kind of entered what may be a 30s-style crash moment?
Well, that's quite possible. They have manipulated their way to prosperity, both through currency manipulation, intellectual property theft, overbuilding domestic infrastructure, basically a mercantilist type approach to undermining and undercutting global trade and stealing secrets and so forth. So they are due for a crash. My concern is that they are using means by which they're exporting the economic pain, one of which would be as a reserve currency, they could con people into acquiring large amounts of their debt that will never be repaid.
Our guest is Kevin Freeman. We're talking China at the moment, and you've described the possibility, Kevin, that there will be an economic collapse in China, possibly staved off at least for a time by exporting some of it. If they are unable to maintain the control on their economy that has enabled them to maintain their control of the political system in China, do you anticipate, knowing what you do about the JICOMs, that they will in fact conjure up pretext for external aggression, a kind of social engineering that we've seen previous authoritarian regimes engage in, to the detriment, again, not only of their neighbors, but perhaps of the United States and its vital interests as well?
Well, if we assume that the Chinese have watched the history, and they have, of how the United States dollar displaced the British pound and how that led into, ultimately there was a Great Depression that came from that after a stock market boom in 1929, and we went to a worldwide depression, which was ended with a world war. One might imagine that they could sweep some economic problems under the rug with belligerent warlike behavior. It would certainly hold the domestic population a little better in line, and at the same time, it would create a need for manufacturing, which they have plenty of capability in the manufacturing arena, and they're acting very aggressively around the world. So certainly members of the People's Liberation Army, which is a very powerful faction, owns and controls a lot of the businesses that are Chinese businesses around the world, would point to that. They would like a war.
And when you look at the places in which that warfare could take place, Kevin, two are obvious, I guess, at this point. One, the South China Sea. Another, space, in which the Chinese are increasingly assertive about their intentions to control what's been called the high frontier, with economic as well as security implications for the rest of us. How about other parts of the world, however, closer to home? For example, I'm thinking of the Panama Canal. I'm thinking of the Caribbean. I'm thinking of Africa. Do you see this truly being a global challenge?
Absolutely. I mean, we've seen evidence in all of the areas that you've mentioned. And then yet we're seeing also an effort to cover up the advances, much the same as the Nazis did prior to World War II. The Chinese have been buying up American radio stations. And they've been trying to get on the radio with I guess Radio Free China or something that is an attempt to influence the policymakers in the United States, and they've had great effect in that area. They've had great effect in intellectual property laws and patent rights and everything else with lobbying organizations here. And so yes, it's across the board. Unrestricted warfare in every area and every dimension, just as it was laid out in the 1999 book.
Would you throw into that mix the Trans-Pacific Partnership, Kevin Freeman? This is a document that we have been told was designed to keep the Chinese out. The Secretary of Defense has said it's worth a carrier battle group in the Pacific for that reason. And yet, John Kerry has indicated that he would welcome both the Chinese and the Russians into it, even before Congress has its say about approving this document. What do you think?
Well, absolutely. They've been influencing the document from a distance. They weren't invited in initially, but they've been influencing the document. And this administration, as we've seen with the Iran negotiations and elsewhere, does not appear to have purely American interests at heart. Rather, the documents that come out, the negotiations and the agreement, generally come out with America on the short end of the stick.
And if the Chinese were, in fact, to become part of the Trans-Pacific Partnership through this docking mechanism, I think it's called, Kevin, would you anticipate that, as we were discussing earlier, you would once again see the rules bent to favor China, that we may well find ourselves very much at the losing end of an arrangement that we have been told was designed to protect us against precisely this kind of Chinese predation?
That's exactly right. We go in with one intention and purpose, and we find that we've lost on all counts. And the Chinese, I don't feel comfortable with the negotiating skills of the present team.
Yeah, well, that goes without saying, really, especially if you look at some of their accomplishments like the Iran deal and, the Taliban 5 exchange for a deserter and on and on. Kevin, just in closing here, one other place in which the Chinese are playing an outsized role this week and next will be in connection with the so-called climate change conference in Paris. Very quickly, what's your sense of what they're doing there and whether it will serve our interests?
Part of unrestricted warfare had environmental rules as a means of conducting warfare. A perfect example is the Chinese negotiated and supported the idea that America would ban the stripping of rare earth minerals, and they made it look like a horrible thing for Americans to do, and thus they monopolized rare earth minerals, and these are essential for a lot of the electronics and a lot of the things that modern society does. And so there's no doubt that they have been manipulating environmental rules and processes. The climate, the whole carbon limitations apply to America. Had we entered the Kyoto treaties before, they would apply to America, but China would be exempt. And so we would actually ship our manufacturing to China where it would produce more carbon net, not less. And that's the kind of manipulations that they're good at.
And I guess even under this administration, we've seen the Chinese get a pass until 2030 when they're supposed to cap their emissions. Another scam, since we are supposed to be making substantial cuts even now. Kevin Freeman, we're going to pause for one more break, and we will come back to discuss another piece of the national security portfolio with which I know you've been greatly concerned, as have we, the security of our electric grid. That and more with Kevin Freeman right after this.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.